Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Outbeat Radio here on KRCB. You'll find us here every Sunday night at 8 p.m. with original programming for and about the LGBT community here in the North Bay. I'm Greg Moralia, and I'm here tonight with Gary Carnevale with a very special edition of Outbeat Extra. Gary, how are you tonight?
I'm great. Tonight we're going to talk about politics and how all of us can get involved in our local politics. We will be joined by Mayor Janet Orchard, who is the mayor of Cotati, and Maddie Hirschfield, who is presently the district director for California State Assemblyman Wesley Chesborough. We'll get to all that. We've got lots to discuss with them. But first, here's Greg with Outbeat Radio News.
Say, say, say.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, July 31st, 2011. Former rugby star Ben Cohen is taking his gay rights advocacy a step further with the creation of an anti-bullying organization called the Stand Up Foundation, and he's already secured partnerships with Campus Pride, the Human Rights Campaign, the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and the Trevor Project. Ben Cohen said, "We're proud to partner with Campus Pride. They have a long, successful track record of working with educators and students to make campuses more inclusive and accepting for LGBT people." The StandUpFoundation.com website launches this coming Wednesday. In California this week, almost immediately after Governor Brown signed into law the Fair Education Act, the Anti-Gay Capital Resource Institute received approval from the state to circulate a petition for a referendum to appear on the June 2012 ballot that will ask voters to overturn Senate Bill 48, the Fair Education Accurate, Inclusive, and Respectful Education Act. The group has until mid-October to collect more than 504,000 signatures to qualify the measure for the ballot. The Fair Education Act requires that LGBT Americans and people with disabilities are included and recognized for their important historical contributions to the economic, political, and social development of California. It adds both groups to the existing law that requires schools to include underrepresented groups, including women and people of color, in textbooks and other instructional materials. And it also prevents the adoption of materials that discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, disability, or religion. And here locally, the Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who last year took on the job of planning Sonoma County Pride 2011, will lead the planning of next year's parade, festival, and the many events that raise money for the day's costly celebration. All interested folks are welcome to get involved in any way that they are able. Pride will again happen in Guerneville, where the local LGBT community enjoyed the return of the parade, which had been absent from Sonoma County Pride for several years. Unseasonably wet weather didn't dampen the spirits of those in attendance during last June's Pride, but may have contributed to the last-minute changes, extra costs, and lost revenue. Rainy weather forced the committee to scrap planned parade commentators because the sound system was too vulnerable. Committee members had to scramble to borrow some extra tents for use at the festival to protect expensive equipment and attendees at the festival, and they had to purchase and lay straw to make the muddy paths more accessible. This year's Pride brought in approximately $14,000, but $17,000 was spent. The committee had expected to collect much more money than they ended up doing so from the vendor and parade fees and the suggested entrance donation and other revenues. Overall, they collected $3,000 less than was collected at Pride 2010, and this left the Pride account in the red. The committee has already held one fundraiser, a Give Back Tuesday, at the Rainbow Cattle Company, which raised enough money to get the Pride account back into the black. Pride 2011 offered a much-needed economic boost to Guerneville merchants, who have, along with the rest of the county, seen a downturn. Lynette McCain, owner of the Highlands Resort in Guerneville and the chair of the Russian River LGBT Tourism Board, said many of the Highlands guests came to town specifically for the parade. The moisture dampened some people's enthusiasm, but everyone who came up had a great time. Having the sisters organize the parade was wonderful, and I totally support their continued role in the planning. Pride Committee Chair Sister Scarlett Billow said the LGBT community needs to step up and volunteer, and hopefully much earlier in the process. If you'd like to get involved, go to the Sonoma County Pride website at www.sonomacountypride.org. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, August 1st at 6 p.m., the Napa Valley Unity League will host a mixer and meeting at River Point Resort, 500 Lincoln Avenue in Napa. And on Tuesday, August 2nd, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center at 312 Chin Street. This is a group for trans-identified and questioning persons, as well as family, friends, and allies. On Wednesday, August 3rd at 6 p.m., Marin Women's Seeking Women, an informal social group, will meet at Jason's, 300 Drake's Landing in Greenbrae. And on Thursday, August 4th at 7 p.m., the Men for Men Support, hosted by the Marin AIDS Project, will meet at 910 Irvin Street in San Rafael. And on Sunday, August 7th at 5 p.m., Fresh, a new LGBT dance party, happens at Aubergine Vintage Emporium, 755 Petaluma Avenue in Sebastopol. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevelli, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Extra, right here on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa.
Welcome back. I'm Gary Carnevelli. We are joined by Janet Orchard, who was elected Cotati's mayor by unanimous city council vote last January, or January 2011. She had served as vice mayor for a year, and this is her third term. For 30 years, Mayor Orchard has worked in the insurance industry. She is also Cotati's representative to the Association of Bay Area Governments General Assembly. Maddie Hirschfield is presently the district director of California State Assemblyman Wesley Chesbrough. Maddie made two runs for candidate for Sonoma County Supervisor. Her previous experience includes working as a senior field representative for Assemblywoman Patty Berg for 6 years, and she is also a political consultant. Welcome to Outbeat Salon.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Describe the moment when you first became interested in politics and when you thought public service might be for you.
You want to take that? That's an easy one. For me, I was pretty much raised on community service and public service. And going back, and this is Janet speaking, by the way, to when I was a little kid, my earliest memories are of my parents' involvement in politics and activities and candidates and so forth. So I was really raised on politics and community service. And actually, election night was, when I was a little kid and still is today, the most exciting night of the year for me. So it's something I was raised with.
Maddie?
Quite different story, although we kind of ended up in the same place. But I was not brought up in a political family. In fact, my dad was a Republican. My mom was a Democrat, so I was brought up in a mixed marriage. but not very much emphasis on politics or even a positive emphasis on politics. I was in healthcare prior to this career. For almost 20 years, and I started getting involved in politics around lesbian and gay issues and equal rights issues, and gradually I started getting more and more involved. I like to say that I started out because I was passionate about something and ended up caring about everything, eventually got drawn into other campaigns and, of course, my own campaign, and I work for legislators, and so I've made a complete switch, and now election night is the most exciting night of my life.
I think we all can say that in this room, can't we?
Yeah.
What is the first position or office that you actually campaigned for, and what was the outcome of that election?
I started getting involved in the late 80s, early 90s. So campaign-wise, I probably would have to say that 1992, the Year of the Woman, a lot of involvement with Lynn Woolsey's campaign. Vivian Braunschweig at the time was running for assembly. She was a one-term assemblywoman. Valerie Brown was also running for the 7th Assembly District at that time. So I was pretty involved in that. In 1996, I did run for supervisor in 96, but after that I went to work for the party. I was a field representative for the state Democratic Party. So I worked on a variety of campaigns. Any of the races that touched Sonoma County, I was involved in then.
But your first campaign was in
96.
Yeah. Okay. Mayor Orchard?
My first campaign was in 2000, and that was for the Cotati City Council. Mm. And I was elected. I was top vote getter. So that was the outcome of that, and I have had two subsequent elections. I'm in my third term.
And what did you learn from the experience?
Well, It was a wonderful experience for me, actually. A lot of it has to do with my when I moved to Cotati. I moved to Cotati in 1998. And I really wanted to get involved with the community. And so I actually did volunteered for a city commission, and I was appointed to the commission, and I served on that for a time until I decided to run for city council. And, you know, until you actually do something, it's, you know, I had familiarity with elections because I'd had experience just being around, and my parents were also very involved in Democratic politics. But until you actually do it, you don't really, you know, you just don't know what it's about. But I had really good advice. I had a good campaign. I had good material. I learned my way through the organizations, the various organizations that make endorsements in campaigns. And in fact, that's when I first, the first time I ever actually had a conversation with Maddie was in that very process long ago. And I learned that you work hard and that people are looking basically to vote for and to be able to rely on people who they think will make good decisions, and that communities have very, especially our community, has very strong likes and dislikes, knows very much what it wants, and that people are interested, and that there's a community, a strong community interest in who's making decisions in their city government. So, and I basically learned to get out and meet people, and learn about their issues, learn about their concerns, and ultimately they were willing to put their faith in me. And so that was something that was very, very rewarding and meaningful to me.
Here's an interesting story that ties in with that. That I was chair of the Democratic Party at the time Janet was running the first time. And we conducted interviews of candidates that we were interested in, well, all Democratic candidates that we were considering an endorsement of. And Janet, we had an interview on the phone because she was busy walking precincts, as she should have been. And one of the questions that we asked every candidate the same exact questions. One of the questions that we asked was, had you been on the council at the time that Prop 22 was on the ballot, how would you have stood on that? Because I ran the Prop 22 campaign, and one of the things that I did was go around to all nine cities and ask them to pass a resolution opposing Prop 22. And I didn't know Janet at all at the time. And she said, oh, I definitely would have supported that that resolution to oppose Prop 22, how proud she was of, you know, driving through her neighborhood and seeing the No on 22 signs and how supported she felt. And that was the first indication that she was an out candidate. Of course, everybody looked at me like I should know her because, of course,
don't
we all
know
each other.
But
that was, the first contact. And the first things were different then. Things have changed over the years.
So, Manny, talk about how different your two runs for the Sonoma County Supervisor.
Yeah. In 96, it was big news that I was an out gay candidate running for supervisor. In fact, the Bohemian at the time, no, it's the Independent now, it was the Bohemian at the time, did a whole front page big picture of my face. Gay politics meets mainstream. I think that's what the headline was. And it was big news. And in 2008, it was like, so what? You know, it was not a big thing at all. And people were actually afraid to mention it because they didn't want to sound like it was a big deal to them. So it was, you know, it was quite an interesting process to see how far we had come in that time.
So talk about your current position, Maddie.
I am district director for Assemblyman Wesley Chesbro, who... we serve the first assembly district, which is, well, it's changing as we know. Redistricting is going to change everything. But we pretty much still will represent the West Sonoma County, Northern Sonoma County, and then up to the Oregon border. We currently represent Lake County as well. That will not be in the new district if these district lines stand, and as well as Trinity County. So I oversee the entire district. And the assemblyman was also a senator prior to that, so he's been in the legislature for quite some time.
And he's expecting to run again?
Yes, and that will, because of term limits, will be his last term.
Oh, right. And Janet, talk about some of your duties as mayor.
Well, the mayor is the official spokesperson for the city, and the mayor does a variety of things. One is setting agendas, running the meetings, working closely with the city manager, to move the business forward and bring it to the city council. Attending events, attending functions is also the mayor is expected to do that, and you know we all do it as best as we can. Everybody works for the most part, or everybody has other obligations, I should say. And so the mayor has no voting, additional voting power. The mayor's vote is only is one vote. And so you're a member of the council, and the council every year reorganizes and appoints a mayor and a vice mayor, and they're looked to lead the official duties and the official functions of the city council. And so there's, you know, there's a... You want if you're going to be mayor, you would need to be able to, or you need to expect to be at a lot of events, a lot of functions in addition, and also dealing with issues that affect the city. It may be in a public way. For example, we lost a council member recently, and so that was an important thing. That was very difficult and important for the city and the mayor. Is there for for the press, for the media, for the public, for to help through that type of a situation, and also to lead the process of reappointing or appointing somebody to fill that seat. So there are a variety of duties that the mayor does, and so some people think it's just often described as just ceremonial, and it technically is. Because you don't have any voting weight that's greater than anybody else's, but people look to you for to be the leader of the city, and in that way, so it actually does carry more responsibility than the council, just the capacity as a council member. Although that's not to take anything away from the council members, because they all have tremendous responsibilities and certainly work hard and represent the city as best as they can.
Mm-hmm. And talk about some of the challenges that the city is facing.
Well, the big challenge that everybody's been facing is the budget. And I'm happy to say that we have we were very proactive a few years ago. We started to see the handwriting on the wall and started making a lot of changes, restructuring, reorganizing. We made cuts, and I have to say our employees really stepped up, and I have to give them credit, a lot of credit for what they did, voluntary concessions in terms of pay, and really helped. We all came together and really worked through it. And at the same time, we had a successful measure, Measure A, which was a half-cent sales tax measure that passed in 2010. Mm. And so that's, we did everything we could do at City Hall in terms of cutting back, bare bones, making decisions about delivery of services and prioritizing, and their employees stepping up and coming, making important concessions there. So we were able to go to the public and ask them to support us for this half-cent sales tax measure, and it passed overwhelmingly. Mm. And in fact, Maddie actually worked very hard on that as well in a consulting capacity. So,
isn't it an easy thing to do?
No. No. Passing a tax initiative in a recession is tricky,
right?
To say the least.
And we actually it passed by a very, very healthy margin. Yeah. I think it was 60-40, if I remember.
Wow.
And so as a result, I'm happy to say that we have a balanced budget. We've eliminated our structural deficit, which means our income exceeds our outgo, and we have a budget that's sustainable. We forecast out 7 years. And so for the next 7 years, including this year, we have a sustainable budget where revenues exceed expenditures. So that's very good news for our city.
Good for you. Good for you. And Mandy, you helped run the initiative?
Yes. I do some political consulting on the side. And so I obviously, sort of had to when my partner was the mayor. I ran that campaign and did all the mail and all the organizing and the walking and so forth. And it was a little tricky during a recession, but it was amazing. My goal was to pass it by 66 because I wanted to do it It didn't require a two-thirds majority because it was a general tax. It only requires a tax initiatives only require two-thirds if it's specifically aimed at one thing.
Oh.
But I wanted to get the 66 just to prove that we could actually get that two-thirds, but we didn't quite get there. But that's a pretty healthy margin.
That is a healthy margin.
Yeah.
20 points, certainly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll be thrilled to have that.
Yeah, it was
Jerry
like
Brown
60,
would be
60.
Thrilled to have that.
Yeah. No, anybody.
The initiative you can't get on the ballot, unfortunately.
I was just going to jump in and say I think it says a lot about the city itself. I've been reading over the last several months about cities like San Carlos that have closed their police department in order to close a budget gap. And so to be able to go to the voters and say, hey, give us some confidence here and pass an additional tax to keep what you have, it speaks highly of the city services that they get.
You know, and our community is really clear that we value our community policing. We actually were one of the first. I believe we were the first city to actually look into outsourcing public safety. We had to do our due diligence in every respect throughout this whole process. And we looked into contracting out with the Sheriff's Department, Petaluma, Roanoke Park. And, you know, basically, it's not an apples-to-apples type of service that you're going to get. You are going to give up that community, special community connection. And, in fact, so we were able to tell the public this is Plan A and Plan B. Plan A includes Measure A. Plan B, if the public did not want to support Measure A and came down to the vote, Plan B was to contract out our dispatch, and which would have been a tragedy because dispatch is one of the most important functions. They don't go out to the houses, but they know who's calling in. They can tell the officers what they might expect, what the issues are at a certain address, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, it's this when I say our community knows really what it wants and supported Measure A in a huge way. We definitely want our community policing
Good
to
for
keep
you.
It at home. Yeah.
Good.
So, Manny, talk a bit about your position as District Director for State Assemblyman Wesley Chesbrough.
Well, I oversee the district. We have three offices. We've got one in Santa Rosa, one in Ukiah, and one in Humboldt County. So, and we have staff, in each one of those offices. And I oversee those offices, and we do a lot of constituent services. And what that means, it's interesting because before I had this job, I never would have thought of calling my legislator for some of the things that people call us for, but as well they should. If somebody's having difficulty with a state agency, DMV, unemployment, those kinds of things, franchise tax board, and we can help them with that and often do. And that's a very rewarding thing. It can also be very frustrating when you're not helping them. But what I find is that people, even if you can't help them, they want to be heard, it's really satisfying to them when they know that the office is hearing them and really, really making an effort, even if we can't get any further. The other thing I do is that, at least in Sonoma County, I'm the eyes and ears of the assemblyman because he can't be here. Obviously, he's working in Sacramento, as well. Our other field reps in the other offices are his eyes and ears. We're out everywhere representing him at various different events and taking meetings and that sort of thing.
Great, great. We're going to take a bit of a musical break now. We'll be back in 3-4 minutes or so with Maddie Hirschfield and Janet Orchard. Here's the Kinsey Six.
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is a party where I wanna be.
Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from the aliens. You know you're better than all those non-Americans. There's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
I wanna be in the GOP. I'm tired of thinking about you when it's all about me. With values strong, they fight the obscene. Now I found a place where I am embraced for being selfish and mean. Like things as they used to be. Miss the old Confederacy. Government should let us be, but not your body. Tired of diversity. Defund universities. Set the corporations free. Come and join the GOP.
God bless America. Blend as I love. Make her whiter, blue-eyed. To the right with a thousand points of light from above.
I wanna be a Republican. I wanna be a Republican.
Hi, welcome back to Outbeat Radio. I'm Gary Carnevale here with Greg Miraglia and Maddie Hirschfield. And Mayor Janet Orchard, welcome back.
Thank you.
We touched on some of those issues, and redistricting is one of them. And let's chat a bit about that. I remember when I lived in Texas back in the 80s, and you know there were plenty of Democrats, and they had a nice voice. And then the redistricting happened, and Texas was dead to Democrats. Let's say. How potentially could redistricting affect the LGBT community, the Democratic Party?
Yeah, it's been an interesting process. As you know, this is the first time they had a citizens commission to do this. That was Prop 11 mm-hmm. that the voters voted for, and it's been really difficult for folks like me and in the legislature because, you know, just watching the hearings and trying to have input, but, you know, no control at all, which is now they wanted it. They tried to work with what's called communities of interest, and they were looking at economic type things like, you know, the fishing industry, the wine industry, ethnic kinds of things. But really, when it comes down to it, it was a numbers game. You really have to have a certain number of people, which is why we do redistricting every 10 years with the census. We do the census every 10 years, and then we have to balance out the districts because they no longer do anymore. And so some districts are very, very light, and some are over, and that kind of thing. So I'm not sure in terms of how it'll affect the LGBT community. I don't think there'll be that much effect. One of the charges of the commission was not necessarily to create more competitive districts, although that's what everyone was hoping for. In fact, we may have more Democratic districts now with the new districts the way they're drawn. And bear in mind the lines are not going to be final. What they're calling this is the final draft until August 15th. But at least for our district, the way it's looking now, like I said, we will no longer be representing Lake County. We are going to lose Sebastopol, which is kind of a heartbreak. However, with every 10-year redistricting, Sebastopol has come more and more out of the first assembly district. That line has been creeping up north ever since. So I guess if we were going to lose something, it's just odd to have Sebastopol taken out of the.
Right,
we have
right.
the rest of West County, Guerneville, Forestville, all that. And we've got more of Santa Rosa. Which is kind of a nice fit because my boss, as I mentioned, Assemblyman Chesbro, was a senator prior, and he did represent Santa Rosa. He's not unknown there. They know him. So that'll be a good thing. But there are some districts where there are no incumbents. There are some districts where there's some overlapping, and I can say this because it's public, but we are now Michael Allen, who is currently the 7th Assembly District member, is now living in our district. So that's going to have to be dealt with. So there's things like that. But I have heard that it's looking like there may be more Democratic districts. And interestingly, there's been a lot of complaining on the Republican side about this process. And my thought is, aren't you the ones who wanted this? You know, careful what you ask for, because they were the ones who pushed this commission. So here we are.
Yeah, yeah. Another big issue is bullying in the schools. There's one particular homophobic presidential candidate who refuses to address the growing problems of bullying in her congressional district, where it's they're having a real problem with it. How is the issue of bullying dealt with in towns like Cotati?
You know, we have a unified school district in Cotati. I don't have any direct involvement. I will say that I think that...
Leonard Park have an issue like a year or so ago? There was a. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No,
but
there, totally
but because Cotati Roanoke Park is a joint school district, and Roanoke Park did have an issue where there was a club that was put together that was very homophobic.
Oh.
And if I remember correctly, there was a lot of support for the GLBT students in that school, and it was it was a major issue, but. But yeah, I mean, it's something that definitely. I was also involved with Project 10 way back when. That was one of my first involvements when I started getting politically involved. And we went into schools to deal with that issue and try to educate faculty and staff about the fact that there were gay and lesbian kids in their school, and they needed to be sensitive to that. So, and that was, you know, brand new then. It's moved light years since then. But, you know, now, of course, there's the whole It Gets Better campaign, and it's incredibly important. It also, part of the reason I think you're doing this show is that it's really important to have people out, people in and I've been thanked, Janet's been thanked many times for just being a role model, being out there showing kids that there are people, you know, who are in positions of power that are just like you.
Because I remember attending a very contentious Santa Rosa City Council meeting when someone was approaching the Unified School District about sensitivity training about specifically LGBT issues, and it, you know, it was just a circus. You know, the people there with the junk science and the pretend
when I was with
experts.
When I was with Project 10, we had an issue in Cloverdale where traditionally what we did was, together with Positive Images and PFLAG, we went and did presentations at schools, and we traditionally did them to staff and faculty. The school president at that time, senior president, class president, wanted us to present to students. Well, I mean, that was like a whole big thing, especially in Cloverdale, and it was a major issue, and it was in, you know, all the papers, and so I had to go up there and do this whole very, very intense meeting with the school board, and they eventually allowed us to present to the students, but not without people watching us and making sure we didn't do anything untoward. And this was back in before Prop 22, so it was probably late 90s.
Right, which isn't that long ago.
Yeah.
But in the process, and especially sort of emerging communities, let's say, like Cloverdale, that really sort of exploded around that time.
Yeah, but it was I have to say, it was the student. Her name was Sarah, and I'm spacing on her last name, but this was a straight student.
Oh.
And just really, really assertive about the need to protect the students in that school. She was amazing.
Right. You know, we're seeing all sorts of gridlock and this partisanship in Washington. It seems that in Cotati, the city council gets along fairly well. Would you say you're pretty much all on the same page?
We're all Democrats, but, you know, city government is a nonpartisan. You know, I have a little bit about my own experience. I've had a pretty broad base of support across all spectrums, which I think says a lot about people and the community. We're all Democrats, but, you know, what you do in city council is delivery of services for the most part, and including public safety being a hugely important one, of course. We have spoken out against the war for marriage equality, for reform of the Patriot Act, and the violence in Darfur. And also, we lent our voice to progressive Democrats to impeach President Bush, which is not a vote to impeach him. It's a vote to allow people to use the official backing of a city council so they can get it into the congressional record, and it actually becomes that they have to have a body give them that kind of support to get that into the congressional record, that another community has asked for this process to begin or to undergo this process. So that was a very interesting experience as well. I learned a lot about that whole process. So we've never, you know, Cotati's not a city that's been ever been hesitant to speak out on social issues, but when it gets right down to it, you know, what you're really doing is making sure that the water and the public safety and that the parks are maintained, the public buildings are maintained, that Public Works is able to go out and take care of the city, that our streets are paved and so forth. So we have that's really what you do when you're in local government for the most part.
And that's true. That is what you do in local government, and it's certainly a very important part of it. In 2000, when I was running the No on 22 campaign, and I mentioned that we went around to all nine cities, one of the things that we heard a lot was, this is not a city issue. And so while that's important, a lot of times council members who may have been on the fence or not comfortable taking that vote would use that as an excuse. It's, you know, it's not a service, it's not a city problem, we shouldn't have to deal with this. And my line was always, I'm not asking you to take a position on some endangered species off the coast of Baja. I'm asking you to take a position on something that will have a direct and immediate effect on your constituents, and if that's not your business, I'm not sure what is. And that would usually get their attention.
Right.
But that was always the excuse. It's not, what do you say, water, sewer, garbage? You know, that,
well, I always say that, yeah. That, it's a little bit more than that, but land use, design, yeah. Community design. But anyway, go ahead.
But as I say, those who were not comfortable would hide behind that, and that was always something we had to fight through.
But you bring up an interesting point, Janet, about how cities change, and places like Cloverdale, how they've dramatically changed. And, you know, I'm sure there are longtime residents of Cotati who are just sort of happy keeping things the way it is. And there are people who have moved there wanting that type of atmosphere. I don't want to say small town, but, you know, more rural, a nice blend of rural with the small town feel. How important is it for you to both maintain that small town feeling and entice businesses into Cotati who are going to employ people and add to the flavor of Cotati?
We are very open for businesses to locate in Cotati. You know, you approach it by saying, this is what we want in our community. This is what we want our community to look like. There have been some pretty contentious issues in Cotati in the past over big boxes. And Cotati pretty much fought that battle and has fought it for a period of time from late 90s into the 2000s. And it's a community that really doesn't want to allow that type of business throughout the community. There's a limited availability for that. As you know, secret, we have Lowe's. But there's really not a lot of places to put those. There's really nowhere else to put that type of a business. So what we try to promote is local, you know, businesses that are that fit the image of Cotati. But we also, you know, we have a lot of exciting things going on. We have a downtown specific plan, which is in our northern gateway, that I have described and many others have described as our economic engine for the future. That is we're starting to have some activity there. So what we'll see out there are a lot of businesses that'll be a mix of retail, office, and services. And hopefully we'll have good sales tax producing businesses too, because cities rely on sales tax to a large extent. Sales tax and property taxes basically are, I mean, there are other sources of revenue, but those are the big ones. And so, you know, our sales tax base is really pretty healthy at this point in time. But it needs to stay that way and it needs to grow. So, you know, you balance it by having in place, your design, your basically your design dictates what type of, and that's not just the design and the look of buildings, but how you lay out and how you zone your city and where you allow certain types of businesses and so on and so forth. So we actually have some pretty exciting things going on. For us, for example, we have a Pete's Coffee, and they're going in right now, underway. They're remodeling the building, and that's going to be in our in our northern part of town, which will be a huge shot in the arm for that part of town, because we really it looks pretty. There's a lot of, you know, the downtown specific plan is a lot of open space that has not been able to get off the ground in terms of being developed for a variety of reasons. The economy hasn't helped things at all most recently. We have, you know, that'll be a huge shot in the arm for that corner there. And then we have...
The corner where?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
116 and Old Redwood Highway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's where the old back door, kitty corner from the old back, where back door disc and tape was. And so that's an empty storefront now,
right,
actually, sadly. So hopefully we'll be able to fill those storefronts, and we'll see more businesses wanting to locate in that area while we have... and Oliver's has put an application, and that's been in the newspaper, so that's no secret. They put an application in for a project out in that area too.
Great.
And so with that sort of thing comes you know, business. You know, hopefully it attracts business, and we have a lot of interesting things going on. Some things I can't really go into, but or talk about. But we have business that we're pursuing, and that we think will fit very nicely and bring us needed sales tax revenue and jobs.
Certainly,
and absolutely jobs. You know, but you know, we're not going to have any of the major employers likely that will come in unless they're you know, a smaller version of a large retailer, like, you know, like a Starbucks or something like that, which we do have, but. That a particular store isn't going to generate that much. But we also have a healthy light industrial and light manufacturing area, and that's people don't really know much about. It's very nice, it's very new, very clean, and it's actually thriving. There's a lot of that type of business out in that area. So, you know, we have good design. We also have a formula fast food restriction where it's very carefully permitted. Our community spoke pretty clearly, pretty loudly a few years ago, and this was something that the council negotiated with. I have to say, we all five of us at the time had pretty different ideas about what's good for economic development and you know, how you thrive and how you attract or discourage businesses, and we came to a very good, I think, negotiation over how we were going to handle this. And so we actually do have limit the ability of chain or large retailers, large retail chain stores to come into Cotati. So
nice.
So, you know, they work for, they're good, you know, you have to have a balance, but we've got a pretty good balance,
I think.
You've
struck that balance.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a little break. Once again, we're going to hear from the U.S. Senate speaking about It Gets Better. I don't know how many people... How many of the senators participated?
I lost count after six, but there's a good group of them, and they just came out with this video. You can see it on YouTube. We're going to play the audio from it, but they released it this year, and it's just a really great motivator, I think, for young people hearing from the leadership of our country. So here's their It Gets Better message.
I know you've heard it all before. Growing up is tough.
Whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're not sure.
For one reason or another, I think most of us grow up feeling like we're different.
As a member of the United States Senate, I'm here to tell you it gets better.
I think back to the days in which I was in school and my early adulthood.
Being gay was not something people talked about.
The number of my friends in middle school, in high school, in college had been gay, but had hidden it.
Over the years, our country has learned how difficult it is for our loved ones to have to hide such an important part of themselves.
But over time, that's changed, and it's been a healthy change.
Two decades later, many of my friends in college came over to me and said, you know, back in college I was gay, but I couldn't say anything. I just wanted you to know.
I know it's not easy. It's not okay for your peers, for adults, or for anyone to make you feel like you're doing something wrong by being yourself.
If you're being bullied, make sure to ask for help.
Don't let them win.
Don't let the bad guys get you down.
Talk to your family if you can, talk to school officials, make sure someone knows so they can do something about it.
You are not alone. You are not alone.
You are not alone.
In the adult world, people are really valued for their talents, their uniqueness.
What makes us unique?
And what makes us different?
Is actually what makes us special.
The very thing that people have gotten harassed for in high school is the very thing people love about a person.
Americans ought to be respected for who they are.
And not ever bullied for whom they love.
We're working in the Senate. The political atmosphere on this is getting so much better.
We are working every day to make sure that it gets better.
We repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Overwhelmingly, we repealed it.
Our country is changing.
The equality movement is growing every day.
Equality is what America is about. Liberty and justice for all means for all. Our nation has always done better when all of us, no matter where we're from, what we look like, or whom we love, work together. Marriage is, in some ways, the most important relationship, the most important commitment adults make.
Every loving couple should have the right and privilege to be married, to be able to celebrate that love, to celebrate that commitment with all of their friends and loved ones around.
Fulfilling the promise of America is going to require our finally fulfilling the promise of equality.
And to keep the promise of the Declaration of Independence real, which is that all men are created equal.
Sexual orientation should not be a factor in a person's access to equality.
And it certainly shouldn't be the policy of the United States government.
We know there have been many detours on the road to equality, but equality always prevails in America.
There are folks who are allies, supporters, friends, who are working hard to make America a better place. In Delaware,
New Hampshire,
Oregon,
Ohio,
Rhode Island,
Connecticut,
Colorado,
Washington,
Illinois,
California,
Minnesota, the great state of New York,
and all over the country, here in the United States Senate,
and in businesses and communities all over the country.
So hang in there. You're going to make it.
You are not broken. You are not wrong.
And I promise you one thing. You're not alone.
It gets better.
We're working to make it better. We're making it better.
We're making it better.
We're making it better.
It's up to all of us to speak out against hate and intolerance wherever we see it.
It's up to me, and it's up to you.
It's up to Democrats. It's up to Republicans.
And it's up to every American who believes that equality for all means an equality that's indifferent to sexual orientation.
Please don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up.
It's going to get better. Believe in it. Let's fight for it.
If you or someone you care about feels alone, in crisis, or is displaying the warning signs of suicide,
call the Trevor Project. The 24-hour confidential hotline is 866-488-7386.
And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Outbeat Radio here on KRCB-FM Santa Rosa. Gary?
I'm Gary Carnevale, and I'm here with Cotati's mayor, Janet Orchard, and political consultant, Maddie Hirschfield. We've been covering all sorts of territory here. What advice would you offer to LGBT folks who are interested in a career in politics?
A career, are you asking about involvement locally or getting involved and moving on into higher office, that type of thing?
Either.
Well, I think there's any number of ways to go about doing it. One is to get involved depending on my, you know, if you just want to just look at the very local level, every city, speaking just from my experience, and certainly in Cotati, has opportunities to get involved. And we're looking for people right now to be involved in on a city commission. And there are, you know, there are any number of not-for-profits, political activities. There are all kinds of avenues that you can pursue to get involved. It depends on what your interest is. Maddie can talk a lot better about higher office than I can. I can speak more from my perspective. As I would tell people, if they're interested in getting involved, which is what I did, so look at what the opportunities are that are right there in your own community, in your own backyard. Mm-hmm. City websites, for example, have they advertise for people to get involved. People, any volunteering, anybody who wants to give back to their community, they're usually wonderful opportunities to do so. And there are, it's fun, and you can get a taste of how you feel about it. And if it's something that interests you, piques your interest to move on and try to run for city council, get involved at the supervisor level, or get involved in partisan politics and partisan organizations. Democrats obviously here are huge, and my bias. Every organization, every city, every not-for-profit, every organization is looking for people to help. There is no shortage of openings that people can pick up the phone. Don't be shy. Everybody's a volunteer often, and very, very nice people, and looking for people to pitch in. And it's amazing how when you do that, the more you do, the more people get to know you, and more you get to know people, and that opens up the world in terms of your particular interests.
Mm-hmm. I think we've lost that idea of being a citizen, and with the partisan politics, you know, people are just taking sides, and sort of the notion is lost that you're a citizen, you should be participating to help your community.
Mm-hmm.
Maddie, yeah. You want to talk about?
Yeah, no, that I think that was very well said, and it's important to just be involved in your community. There's tons of boards and commissions, and with every interest area you can think of, you know, environmental or whatever. There's if human rights is your issue, there is a human rights commission in this county, and that's a way to get involved. And as Janet says, it's a networking sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if your goal is to run for office, it's always a good idea to have that stuff in your background. You sort of need to say you have a foundation, and you know that's the foundation. So it's just a matter of being involved. It's kind of like I said that I started out being passionate about one thing and caring about everything, and that's what ends up happening when you get involved in these issues.
And we have more. I mean, do we have a record number of out people in politics in this country? Probably as well as many other countries.
But. And I also wanted to say that earlier when you were asking me about the difference between 96 and 2008, that in 96 it was big news, and in 2008 nobody cared and nobody was talking about it except that I talked about it. And I talked about it from the standpoint that I was running in a district that had the largest per capita lesbian and gay populations, or second largest in the country,
right,
and had never had representation, anyone representing them on the board. And so that was significant, I thought, and it is significant. It's important for us to just be out there in all aspects, and from the point of view we were saying about kids, about having, you know, creating role models. That's what I did with Project N, and tried to find, be, and create positive role models. But also just being involved in your community and being part of the process, I think, is incredibly important.
And being open as an LGBT person in that process, and not necessarily having an agenda, or you know, maybe it's not human rights, but there are several other ways you can serve your community. And by community, we don't necessarily mean the LGBT community.
Correct. Yeah. And what I do is, everybody knows who I am. I mean, I came up in politics as a very, very out person, so it would be impossible for me not to be out. But and everybody knows who I am, and knows what my roots are, and also knows the breadth of my experience. So it's just important to, I think, to be out there on that level and just be a participating member of the process.
Mm-hmm. And Janet, have you encountered people who were less than accepting of your sexuality? Or has it never been much of an issue?
I grew up in a small town. I grew up in Ukiah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been out since I was 16. So I've lived that way all my life virtually. So when I just got involved, I just assumed that there would be no issues.
Mm.
And honestly, when I moved to Cotati, Maddie would talk about Prop 22 and my comments about that was, I was struck by how that was ongoing at the time, how there were no visible signs of support for that for that at all. And coming home at night was very nice because I drove into my community and there was no visible support for it whatsoever. I'm sure that there are probably people who you know, maybe they don't like it. But for the most part, getting back to what I said earlier, most people are just want to know that the city government is in good hands, mm-hmm. and that they are voting for people who will make good decisions. And it was very sweet. I actually was very moved by Katati when I was Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade. The Press Democrat had an article about me in that, and people were actually worried about whether or not I was okay about that. And the kindness was unbelievable. And I used to joke that I was going to have to move out of town if one more person came up to me and said something nice about it.
Too much support.
You know, so you know, honestly.
Didn't your entire council do that parade with you?
Yeah, there's been a couple of times when, not the entire council, just because of schedule conflicts, but at least 4 out of 5 were.
Wow.
And in fact, some of my supporters people I know just that I met in the community went up and walked in it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, my experience has been really positive, but it's also an experience that I expect. And I think that people are people and there are issues, serious issues that need to be dealt with. But, and, you know, you never know what you're going to encounter, but for the most part, my experience is, like I said, what I would have expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And again, people are they're not paying attention really to what necessarily to your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And the community is broad based, and I think that's pretty typical of all of our communities up here, certainly in Sonoma County. You have a lot of diversity, a lot of people from all walks of life that mm-hmm. live together in communities, and like Maddie says, visibility makes a difference, and that's a huge thing for the LGBT community, is just to be visible and be involved. And, you know, it's a long way. My experience, I had the benefit of people, of Maddie, who is, you know, blazed the way for us to mm-hmm. be comfortable running for, and dealt with that awkwardness and that difficult sort of moment where, you know, what do? Are you deer caught in the headlights, or do you just take it in stride? And Maddie took it in stride and really, you know, made a difference for people. Mm-hmm. So I would say to people, don't ever think that it'll stop you from doing anything. People they're just looking for good people to rely on and to work with.
Beautifully put. We just have time for one more quick question.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the Fair Education Act that Governor Brown just signed into law. And I reported earlier on the news tonight, this is the bill that would require schools to include LGBT history and the history of those with disabilities into their curriculum, along with the history of how African Americans have contributed and other racial groups have contributed to, you know, our historical and our legacy here in California. But almost immediately after the governor signed that bill, there was a referendum proposed by an anti-gay group. They're now out collecting signatures. They need to get 500,000 signatures to put an initiative on the ballot to overturn that. And basically to, as Equality California would say, erase our history from the history books. How important is it that our community pay attention to these things and get involved in fighting an issue like that, do you think?
Incredibly important. And therein lies one of the problems with the initiative process, that you pass a bill and immediately there's something to overturn. It's happened a couple times with some health care bills, very important health care bills. And that bill that you just mentioned has been attempted several times, and it finally got through. And you're right. It's very, very important that we pay attention to these things and that we get involved in the initiative process.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Thanks so much. I want to thank Katati Mayor Janet Orchard and political consultant Maddie Hirschfield. It's been a great evening of chat, politics.
Yes, and thank you. I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You are welcome back anytime.
Thanks for the work that you do.
And be sure and join us next Sunday night at 8 p.m. for Outbeat Radio and Living Proof with Dr. Diana Grayer and Sheridan Gold. Gary will be back in a few weeks on the third Sunday of August for Outbeat Collage, and I'll be back with Jeff Basham at the end of August for Outbeat Now. Remember, you can always listen to past shows on our website at outbeatradio.com. Thanks so much for joining us this week, and have an awesome week.